Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. Today, we have an honored guest in the house. So let's go right now to the sanctuary where we know we are about to receive a powerful word from the Lord.
Amen. God is so faithful. Well, hey, tonight I count it an honor and a privilege to have one of my very new friends, Jared Schultz, with us. He is the only Oklahoma missionary to the southern part of Africa. And God has called him and his wife to Mozambique. But beyond that, I'm going to tell you what I like about him. He's a soul winner, and he's passionate. He's fiery for the kingdom of God. And so we're going to receive an offering in a moment after we get a chance to hear from him. Turn your attention to the screen for a moment for a short video update.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and this is my husband, Jared, and our daughters, Elise and Shiloh, and we are heading to Mozambique, Southern Africa.
We first were called in our youth. We didn't quite know exactly what that would entail. But when we actually met, I told Kayla, I said, I'm going to Africa, and if you don't like that, you need to find somebody else. And she looked at me and said, well, I'm called to Africa, and if you don't like that, you need to find somebody else. In Mozambique, we will be partnering with the local pastors, the national pastors there. Wonderful people, wonderful church, but the church has outgrown the training. So we will be going and providing that and working together. And my wife, Kayla, will be working with the children.
The Bible says that we should train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. And because of that, we'd like to partner with the national church and train workers and leaders to instill the Word of God early in the children's lives.
We will be working in the Bible school there and giving training to the pastors in the Bible school. We will also be doing evangelization when we are not busy in the Bible school or working with the children, seeing that we are constantly making the lost a priority in our ministry. There is a lot of syncretism, a blending of Christianity and their already ancestral religions. And I'm reminded that Paul tells us that this is a very dangerous thing in Galatians, that if we add anything to the gospel, that we're in danger of losing our salvation. So it's very important and vital for us to get there and teach that Jesus is enough. Our ultimate goal is to equip the national pastors, the national teachers and leaders, whether it be with adults or down to children, all across the board, how to adequately and sufficiently teach Jesus to their congregations so that we can see an increasingly redeemed and transformed Mozambique. We would love to connect with you guys on Facebook. We would absolutely love to partner with you in reaching the people of Mozambique. It absolutely takes both of us. We share the same calling and the same goal, and that's to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for partnering with us, and we will be praying for you. And if you would absolutely pray for us, we would appreciate it.
Well, good evening, Woodward. That was decent. We'll try it again. I say good evening. It is nice to be with you guys. We're about as far west in Oklahoma as we can go, and I like it out here. I'm from the northeast corner up Bartlesville area, but I like it out here. I try to show the video first because I figure if you see my wife, you might like me more than you should. So we start with her. Since that video, my wife was probably about 7-8 months pregnant in that video. We've had our third daughter, 3 girls, my biggest mission field. You saw my little redhead, can't keep her hands off of things. That is 100% normal, but at least for her. Maybe no one else, but it's normal for her. But it is our honor and privilege to be here and share with you what we're doing. And I want to give you something that the video didn't give you. In fact, the video does not really tell what we do and who we are. But I like that because I want you to hear directly from me what we do and who we are. See, that was a simple part of it. We talked about the Bible school and training up children and children's ministers and all sorts of things like that. But what we didn't tell you is the actual foundation of our ministry in Mozambique, and that is our ministry to the unreached people groups of Mozambique. Now, how many of you, just ask real quick, how many of you understand what an unreached people group is, or you've had that explained to you? Okay, so for those of us who have never heard that, or maybe we haven't quite comprehended it, the AGWM still doesn't comprehend it fully. It's a unique definition, but I'll make it real simple. An ethnic group, okay? A people group is an ethnic group, if you will. They share the same culture, the same language, that type of thing. So let's bring it home to Oklahoma a little bit. In Oklahoma, we have tons of Native American tribes, and one Native American tribe, someone give me a Native American tribe. Cheyenne. Give me another one. Arapaho. Cherokee. Choctaw, right? Each one of those are a people group. They share the same culture. They share the same language. So as you can imagine, there are hundreds of thousands of people inside of a single people group. And in Mozambique, there are 9 entire people groups, so hundreds of thousands of people that are considered unreached and have no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something, First Assembly. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? If you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, which Jesus himself declared, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. If you believe that, then we are left with a realization that many people that are unreached will enter into judgment day and stand before a judge with whom they have never even heard of. Can you imagine being judged by someone you've never even heard of? Am I in a church that still believes that hell is real and that it's eternal? Then we are left to beg the same question that Paul begs to us in Romans, and he says, how can they, unless someone tells them? Sure, he quotes from Joel and he says, all who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And that's wonderful news. But then he puts the damper on the fire and he says, as wonderful news as this is, as inclusive as it is, we are left with the realization that unless someone tells them, eternal hell is actually awaiting. Oswald J. Smith puts it this way. No man deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone's heard it once. No man deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once. So as Kayla and I are stepping into these unreached people groups, 100% Muslim people groups, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are literally taking the gospel places where it has never been planted and rooted, so that these 9 unreached people groups can be checked off as reached. Isn't that what the gospel and the Great Commission is all about? See, when we were pastoring, anybody know where Blackwell, Oklahoma is? My wife and I pastored in Blackwell, Oklahoma, and we loved it. We had a good time, and the Lord went ahead and opened all the doors for career missions, which we were called into even before we met. As you saw in the video, we both knew that we were called to Africa independently. But as the Lord called us into missions, I had a lot of people say, Jared, why don't you stay and preach and pastor here in the States? We need a lot of young pastors here in the United States. Well, that's true, but you got a great one right here. There's 2 reasons why I'm going and not staying. One, because I'm called to go. And can I just be honest? I don't want to learn Jonah's lesson the hard way. I'll just accept his word for it. Okay? He said, go, I heard you, Lord. No fish. I fished on Call Lake out there and did a lot of big blue cat fishing, and I can just imagine pulling out one that's big enough to swallow you. No thanks. First, we're called, but secondly, if I'm going to be really transparent and honest with you, in America, we have no excuse. It doesn't matter if you're in the far corners of Alaska, or if you're homeless on the streets of Oklahoma, or if you live in a mansion on the good side of town. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, there is access to the gospel of Jesus Christ for you. You might have to walk a few miles to find a church, but there are believers around you. There are Bibles around you. Everyone will stand before God and give an account of the excess that they've refused. But for 9 entire ethnic groups, 9 entire people groups in Mozambique, not only is there not a single church in many of these communities, there's not a single believer for miles and miles and miles that they might bump into by chance and hear the name of Jesus. That is tragic, my friends. And since we're being very transparent right now, if that does not drive you to your knees in prayer, if it does not keep you up late at night and prevent you from sleeping, if you are not stirred in your spirit over those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, then quite frankly, it is time that we go in our prayer closet, we close the door behind us, and we tell God that we're not leaving until our heart begins to reflect His. He's a missions God. That's His heartbeat. And as we stepped out of pastoring and into career missions, oh, you know what broke loose? The enemy started coming, because he's not happy about what is happening in Mozambique. These people that have never heard the gospel are about to hear the gospel for the first time, not because of who I am, but because of the Spirit of God that is in me. And so as we stepped out, we started having attacks, and I won't go long on this. I'm going to give you a couple of quick examples. I was preaching not too long ago in a small town in Oklahoma, and after I was done preaching on itineration, talking about Africa and preaching about Jesus, a young man about 25 years of age came up to me and said he wanted to talk to me. I said, okay. Have you ever sensed a dark spirit and you know that it's just not of God? Well, you know, I like to make friends, so I didn't start out and tell this guy, hey, I think you're demon-possessed. That's not a good way to make friends. Don't do that. And husbands, don't ever tell your wives that, no matter how true it might be. Apparently, wives can say it to husbands, but not the other way. I don't know. I don't understand it. But this guy, he said, man, he was just talking to me, and I said, brother, can I pray with you? Sure. I didn't tell him I thought he was possessed. I just said, can I pray with you? So he closed his eyes and raised his hands, and I began to pray a very provoking prayer. I was poking and prodding to see if there was anything in there, because I knew that if there was, he couldn't hang on much longer. He couldn't stand it. So I began to pray like this. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that breaks every chain of darkness, that establishes the kingdom of God, that sets the captive free. And sure enough, before too long, his lip curled up in the corner. His eyes went in the back of his head. All you could see were the whites of his eyes. His lids began to flutter. He seized up like the boy in Scripture whenever he was seized with the spirit of epilepsy. And he just went over backwards. And I get down there and fight or flight instinct. I'm very much wired fight. And just by knowing your pastor, I think we have the same wiring. I love this guy. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't have a choice at that point. So we get down there, and I look at this man, and I tell him, I speak to this demon, and I say, you can growl at me all you want. And from the depths of his gut, there came this deep, dark, guttural, demonic dog growl. And he looked at me and yelled his name. He said, my name is, and then yelled out a Hebrew name. I won't give him the credit here tonight. But he yelled out a Hebrew name, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, yeah, well, my name's Child of the Most High God. How do you like that? We fought for about 30 minutes. And at the end of this 30-minute spiritual intense battle, I looked down, and tears began to run down this young man's cheeks. And he looked up at me and he said, I feel like a cinder block has been taken off of my chest. The captive met the liberator. And then again, not too long ago, we were traveling and I was preaching in another country church, a pretty good-sized country church down in Poto, Oklahoma. And I had a young man approach me after that service, and he said, I don't know, but when you were preaching, I had the sudden urge to rush you and to hurt you. I said, we should talk about this. One, you're either psychotic or you're demonic. I'm not sure yet. We'll pray. So I sat him down, and we began to pray a really calm prayer because I was afraid he was mentally unstable, and I didn't want to mess with his mind if it was just mental and not spiritual. So I said, "Brother, I really don't think you're possessed. Just relax. I'll pray a nice little prayer over you," because I didn't want to send him into fits. I began to pray, real gentle, "Lord, give peace in this mind." He started biting and turning and everything else and writhing in pain. We cast that booger out too. We did. He looked at me at the end, and I was telling him some things, and he goes, "How did you know that? You're not supposed to know that." The Holy Spirit knows everything. You say, "Why are you telling me this, Jared? Why are you talking about what's happening here?" I can tell you why. The reason that these things are happening here and now is because the devil realizes already, just like the Legion, that when God steps onto enemy territory, he is evicted. You remember when Jesus stepped off of the boat onto the shore and the demoniac that had been living amongst the tombs, whenever he realized and sensed the presence of Jesus, he ran and fell on his face before the king, and he said this, "At least send us into the swine." Because he knew his eviction notice had been given. And for centuries and centuries, these people groups of Mozambique have been held under the sway of demonic influences, with witchcraft being heavily prevalent and Islam covering their eyes and creating a darkness. And he's already watching as Jesus is walking amongst the unreached people groups. He's peeling back the blinders off of their eyes. He is plowing up the fields of their souls. And now all that awaits, it's for the seed of faith, the word of God, to be planted. "Then it shall be said," Revelation chapter 7, "And I saw before the throne room people of every tongue, every tribe, every nation, and every language, worshiping God." Folks, God is already doing incredible things. I have colleagues there right now in northern Mozambique who are working with these unreached people groups, a little village called Sakura. Had never had a church in its history, Fully Muslim. For the sake of what's going on, I'll let him share his name when he wants to via media. I'm going to keep it private. But he was walking with the Muslim chief of the village. This is my area. This is where we're feeling called to. And he began to talk to the Muslim chief, and the Spirit said, "I want you to ask him if you can come teach him the Bible." He said, "I can't teach a Muslim chief the Bible. I can't ask him that." But the Spirit's persuasive. So he said, "Okay." And he asked, "Sir, would you mind if I come teach you the Bible?" The Muslim chief looked at him and gave him a response he didn't expect. He said, "I would love that. But not just me, my whole village." So he shows up. They go to the school. The administrator of the school shuts down the school so that 400 Muslim school children can come hear the gospel presentation. And if that's not enough, there's more. What happened after that is we find out that now they have completed. The Muslims, by the work of their own hands, have built the very first church that Sakura has ever had. They also built the parsonage for the new pastor, the first pastor they've ever had. And one of the Muslim fishermen of the village has taken his fishing nets and he has turned them into soccer nets so they continue doing outreach for children, teaching them about Jesus. And that story reminds me of the Muslim fishermen. It reminds me where the Old Testament declares that when Jesus returns, there will be nations that are beating their swords into plowshares and peace will come. That's what's happening now. But we need your help. You already partner with us monthly, and I am so deeply grateful for that. To call Woodward our faithful monthly partners in Mozambique. I'm your mouthpiece. I'm your mouthpiece to the unreached. And I'm also pleased to announce that as of today, we are 105% monthly funded. God's doing incredible things. But here's where you come in today. We still lack $30,000 in cash to fly out. And our goal is by September, $30,000 in cash so that we can make our journey. So I'm just going to ask you, would you pray and consider giving to that so that the unreached can hear the name of Jesus before they slip into eternity?
Amen. If the ushers would come tonight, we want to receive our offering. Amen. How many of you believe that's the ministry we're sowing into? Amen. Now you see why I love this guy, because you have missionaries and then you have missionaries. And I mean that with all kindness. But let me tell you something. Here's the thing about missions. We're all called to missions. Some people are called to go. Others of us are called to send. Amen. And if God hasn't called you to go, that doesn't let you off the chain. God gives us the opportunity, just like David's mighty men, some of them stayed behind at the stuff while the battle was being won. And so tonight, would you join me as we just sow an offering? I challenged you this morning to pray and to bring a generous offering. And let's bless our brother and his family and get them on the field where they need to be. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the call of God. We thank you for Jared and his wife. And Lord, we thank you for the harvest field that you've placed there. But God, here's what I thank you for. I thank you for faithful, faith-filled people in this room, Lord, who are generous. This room is filled with generous people. So Lord, tonight, I know that as we plant seed into good ground, Lord, that it's going to equate to souls on the other side of the eternity. Lord, that people would even be waiting for us when we get there to tell us, hey, I made it because of your partnership with the gospel. So Lord, bless the offering tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as you're giving tonight, would you mind standing on your feet and giving my brother just a good God bless you as he comes, shares the word of the Lord with us? Come on, would you stand and welcome him as he comes tonight? Hallelujah.
Forgive me for shedding the suit coat. It's a little bit warm. So, all right. Well, it is my privilege to minister to you. You've ministered to me, but quite honestly, I view this as a partnership. You've entered into a partnership with the Schultz family, and I hope I can give back to you. So tonight, if you will go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start there for a second. I'm sure you got a little Pentecost today, but we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 2, and as you turn there, I'm going to ask you a question. First, let me mention my title. Tonight's title is Missio Dei, A Return to Pentecost. A Return to Pentecost. How many of you want a permanent return to Pentecost? Are you hungry for it? Are you thirsty for it? So then with that, I must ask you, what is the Pentecostal distinction? Now, I don't want anybody to give me an answer because I've got something I want to share, and I don't want to embarrass anybody because there are some things that would immediately come to our mind. I'll share that a second. But so just begin to think about it. What is the Pentecostal distinction? Or what is it that separates us Pentecostal denominations from other denominations? What makes us Pentecostal in our DNA? Now, as I ask this question, I'm sure the very first thing that many of us have said were tongues. And while there's truth to that, certainly, it is the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But is that the Pentecostal distinction? Is speaking in tongues the Pentecostal distinction? Others may say signs and wonders and powers and miracles. Again, all of those things, surely they're a part of the Pentecostal distinction. But they're simply a fraction of it. My friends, I would submit to you tonight that the Pentecostal distinction is actually missions. Empowerment for service. the original intention of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was not so that we could speak in tongues, though that certainly comes. It's not so that we can have signs and wonders, though that comes. It is so that the power of God will drive us into the wilderness and the far places and preach the name of Jesus. That is the Pentecostal distinction. The Spirit's role is to point people to Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself acknowledged this when he was talking to his disciples. He said, "The Spirit is coming, and when he comes, he will teach you all things, and he will teach you about me." That's what Jesus said. The role of the Spirit has always been, as long as mankind has been on earth, the role of the Holy Spirit, the main function of the third person of the Godhead, is to point to Jesus. I can prove it in your own personal life. I'll give you an example from your life. When you came to Jesus, the Spirit drew you, did he not? Did he point you to himself or did he point you to Jesus? He pointed you to Jesus. He brought you to the altars and he told you that there is one who died for you, who can take your sins. The Spirit of God, his role is to point to Jesus. However, we in the church have divorced the Spirit from his role. We have made Pentecost a selfish experience. We say things in good intentions, and I understand it. Things like, I miss the old camp meetings. I miss the old Pentecostal style of church services. I miss the outdoor tent meetings. I miss this and I miss that. Can I tell you something? I miss the move of the Holy Spirit too. But when we think about it in those terms, we are misunderstanding what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit really is intended for. Because what we are saying when we say those things is, I miss the days when I would sit and soak in the presence of God. And I'm right there with you, folks. There is nothing like sitting and soaking in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if that's what we're asking for, to sit and to soak, then we have divorced the Holy Spirit from his function. And I'll be honest with you. I sincerely believe that a big part of the reason that the churches in America are moving away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not because the church has moved away. It's actually because the Spirit has withdrew himself to some degree. Why? Because we have divorced him from his role, his presence from his function. When the Spirit of God shows up, he is always interested in creating people who go and tell. And perhaps this is why the Spirit is withdrew. This is the truth. If we desire more of the Spirit, then we must also passionately desire his mission. You cannot welcome the Spirit of God without welcoming the mission of God. And if we really want the rubber to meet the road, then we need to understand that every church that refuses to be involved in the community, every church that refuses to be involved in missions, every individual who refuses to be a witnesser for the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will not experience lasting Pentecost. Because the Spirit of God shows up to empower, not to sit and soak. Not to sit and soak. And I'm not just telling you this because it's my high horse or something I pulled from. I'm going to pull you straight from the scripture here. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Peter, when he's full of the Holy Ghost after the original outpouring, he quotes Joel in chapter 2, verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in these last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So since he quotes Joel, why don't we just take a jog over to Joel and see what Joel has to say himself. Joel chapter 2, we'll go to verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, etc., etc. We have three things here that he points out. One, what will happen. Two, what it will look like. And three, what is the purpose? Can I submit something to you tonight? I believe that we're good at one and two, but we fail in three. We're good at knowing what happens when the Spirit shows up. We're good at knowing what it looks like when the Holy Spirit shows up. But we fail in understanding and utilizing the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So what will happen? It says, in the last days I shall pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now this is interesting. It is very unique. It is the introduction of a new age, because under the old covenant, the Spirit of God, the outpouring, was reserved for certain individuals. God would pour out his Spirit on kings that he's anointed, on prophets, on priests, on individuals. But it was reserved for individuals of God's choosing. But now we have Joel prophesying that there's a new age. There's a dawning of a new time that's coming when the Messiah shows up, that the Spirit of God is going to be poured out, not on just kings and princes and priests and prophets, but on all flesh, your sons, your daughters, your children, your grandchildren. No longer is it reserved for certain individuals within the body, but all of the body. This is the promise for you and your children and all who are afar off. So what will happen? He will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. What will it look like? Verse 28 and 29 says, your sons, daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on and on and on. So we know what will happen, we know what it will look like, but what about the purpose? Oftentimes when we quote Joel, we stop right there. We're very good at saying, your young men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, your sons and daughters will prophesy, well, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. But when we stop there, we have left out number three, the purpose of this outpouring. To look at number three and to find out the purpose, let's go to verse 30 first. Judgment is coming. He says, I will show wonders in the heavens, the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Verse 32 is the purpose of the outpouring. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. So what is the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Souls. Redemption. In fact, God in his wonderful foreknowledge chose for Pentecost, or the outpouring, to be on Pentecost. Pentecost is the feast of weeks, or if you will, the feast of the harvest. The Feast of Harvest. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is all about souls. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then we skip over to Acts chapter 1 and we look at Jesus' own pre-ascension speech. He's about to disappear into the heavens, but he has a little bit of a last instruction for his disciples. Chapter 1, verse 4. He said, you have heard from me, I'm starting at the end of verse 4, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Skip over to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So here again we have what will happen, what it will look like, and what is the purpose. Again, all three elements appear. And again, we are good at one and two, and we fail in three. What will happen? I will pour out my Spirit. What will it look like? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But what is the purpose? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Let's scoot over a little bit to chapter 2. Let's look at the initial outpouring when Pentecost comes. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, what will happen, what it looks like, and what's the purpose? What happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did it look like? Tongues of fire as it begins to separate and settle on their heads. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. However, and the infilling of tongues, speaking of tongues. However, what was the purpose? Well, the purpose is in the crowd's response. Go to verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Do you see that? From every nation under heaven. Do you see the mission of God? And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome," listen to this, "both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." What was the purpose? Now, we know what happened. The Spirit came. He filled the disciples. We know what it looked like. Tongues of fire, speaking in tongues, rushing mighty wind. But what was the purpose? So that all could hear the works of God. You cannot divorce Pentecost from missions. You cannot divorce Pentecost from salvation. The entire purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to embolden you to be a witness to the nations and to your home and to your community. And I'm going to be real honest and maybe a little bit touchy. It's time that we quit asking our pastors to win our families to Jesus. It's time we quit asking our pastors and our staffs to win our communities to Jesus. It's time we quit putting blame on the pastor and the staff for empty pews, empty seats, unsaved souls. Because the truth of the matter is, your pastor and your staff are not called to win their community to Jesus. They're called to train you to win your community to Jesus. The Bible tells us that the role of a pastor is to teach and train and edify and send. I'm speaking from personal preference and personal experience. I know I've pastored before, and it seems like when I showed up to pastor, everybody said, "Well, here it is, pastor. I was doing this, but now that you're here, you can have it." I'm not trying to get on to anybody tonight. What I am trying to do is light a fire under you. Are you comfortable sitting and soaking? Because there will come a day, and it's coming so soon, when we will stand before God Almighty. And He's going to say, "The pew to your left and to your right was empty, because you were so busy about your day that you didn't tell your Walmart cashier about me, even though I set up the meeting. You didn't stop and ask the restaurant, the waitress at the restaurant, to pray with you after your Sunday meal because you were just happy to be with your family." Folks, missions never takes a vacation. Telling people about Jesus never takes a vacation. In season, out of season, ready to present the name of Jesus to all that are seeking. What was the purpose? Again, that all ethnic groups, both Jews, proselytes, and every nation would hear. My question to you now is this. What will it take to return to Pentecost? And I'll be honest with you. I believe I've already turned some ears off tonight. I believe some people have already maybe even been upset with me because I have preached that if we want Pentecost, we must get involved. But I'm just giving you the Word of God. So maybe you don't even want Pentecost anymore, but those of you who are still hanging on to the message and you're still interested in what the Lord says, the question is, what will it take to return to Pentecost? And here's what I think is happening in the church today. Not this church, I've never been here, but what I think is happening in the Assemblies of God and in the churches of America altogether. We are seeking the appearance of Pentecost, not the purpose of Pentecost. We're coming down to these altars and we're saying we need to linger and tarry until we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not what Pentecost is about. It's lingering and tarrying until we are emboldened to go and preach. We need to quit coming up here and praying that God would fill us and refill us and refill us when we have done nothing to tell other people about Jesus in 50 years of our Christian walk. We must do some internal reflection. We must ask the Holy Spirit, what have I done with this anointing baptism that you have given me? Have I talked to my neighbors? Have I shared the gospel with my brother, my sister, my coworkers? Or have I all too often remained silent? The Spirit of God will not pour out another Pentecost until the church of God quits divorcing him from his function and his role, which is to win people to Jesus. Again, his very nature, the very essence of who he is, points to the Messiah. And until the church starts pointing to Jesus, the Spirit will not fill us. So what will it take to return to Pentecost? Praying for not revival, but empowerment to share Jesus. No, I'm not saying there's something wrong with asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I fully believe in that. Asking for speaking in tongues, I believe in that. I just think that we want the appearance and not the purpose. We go to Acts chapter 4, and this is the chapter and the verses that we'll conclude with tonight. We want to return to Pentecost. We want to return to Pentecost, and Acts chapter 4 is the original return to Pentecost. Remember, the original Pentecost happened in Acts 2, and then the return to that experience happens in chapter 4. Here, Peter and John are arrested, and they're led away. And finally, they're let loose, and they go back to their people. And we pick up here in verse 27. This is what the people are saying after they come back and report this, after Peter and John come back and report what had happened. It says, "For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose, determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." What did they pray? "Holy Spirit, I just want to feel your presence. I just want to sit and soak. I just want the anointing. I want that old time feeling." Is that what they prayed? They said, "Make us bold to share Jesus." How do you think God responded? How do you think the Holy Spirit responded? His ears perked up. "My people are not just welcoming my presence, but they're welcoming my purpose." Let's look. "And when they had prayed," verse 31, "and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." The refilling happened because they focused on the purpose of the Spirit. They prayed for boldness to preach Jesus. They said, Spirit of God, come in us and point to Him. Point to Him. Point to Him. As I close, I want to ask you, when's the last time, not that you asked somebody to come to church with you, when's the last time that you asked somebody if they know Jesus? We have become extremely lazy Christians in America. And if we invite someone to church once a year, we feel like, hey, I invited someone to church. I challenge you, go through the Gospels, all four of them, the Synoptics, and throw John in there for grins and giggles. Tell me where one time Jesus walks up to somebody and says, hey, would you come to the synagogue on Sunday? I'm preaching. He walks up and he gives a life-altering message to them right there, right where they're at. People are healed, the lame walk, the blind see, the dumb speak. The life-giving message of the gospel does not wait until Sunday morning, because Sunday morning may not come. And I'm challenging you here today. I'm not saying you're not saved. I am saying that you're not being an active Christian if you're not actively witnessing to people about Jesus Christ. And I'm not a pastor, so you can't cut my salary. I believe that you love the Lord, but I also believe that many of us have done nothing for Him. Why? Is it because of the fruit I see in you? No, it's because I've been across churches all across America. I've been from Louisiana over to Georgia, South Oklahoma, everywhere that you can think of. I preached in California, and it's all too common. People are not telling people about Jesus. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to simply say, check in your spirit, how many of you have told someone about Jesus in the last week? And the truth of the matter is, we should have told at least two people already today outside of church. That's active witnessing. We want to return to Pentecost. We must return to the purpose of Pentecost. Praying not for revival, but empowerment to share Jesus. Could I get some help? I'm going to ask you to really consider tonight, before we bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm going to ask you to consider that if you go to your deathbed, if that death dew lays cold on your brow, and you knew that in the next few moments you would step out of this life and open your eyes in the next, and Jesus would be standing there, the one who gave you the talents. And He would ask, how many people have you witnessed to in the last week? How many people have you witnessed to in the last year? How many people have you witnessed to in the last decade? Would you hang your head in shame? Because the Father will look at you and say, I gave you the Spirit. I sent Him for the purpose of evangelizing a dying nation. But you just wanted to sit and soak. I'm going to ask you, if you truly desire Pentecost again, lasting Pentecost, not a cheap, short-circuited move of God one Sunday morning and gone. I'm talking about something that rolls on and rolls on, and thousands are added to your numbers daily. I'm talking Pentecost. Do you want that? It's like a car. You put gas in it. But gas has a purpose. It's meant to combust and create fire and to move the vehicle. And if you put gas in a vehicle and park it in your car and it stays there for too long, not only does it not help, in fact, you have to empty the tank when it goes stale. It's been there too long. It does you no good. Fill up to go. Fill up to go. Fill up to go. If you want Pentecost, I'm inviting you to come and begin to weep for souls that are dying and going to hell. Here's a good start. Start with your community. Now's the time. Go ahead. Make your way this way while I'm talking. If you want Pentecost, I want you to come and get on your face and weep for those who have never heard of the name of Jesus. Weep for your community. I'm telling you that this city will not be won until we hit our knees and stay there. And stay there. And I want you to begin to ask the Spirit of God to tell you, show you faces, give you names of people that need Jesus. He will pour out His Spirit if you want His purpose. He'll pour out His Spirit if you want His purpose. Begin to ask Him, Lord, show me faces. Tell me names. And then tell me how I can win them for you. Determine in your heart tonight that you will be active in telling people about Jesus. That this isn't simply praying for the lost. It's about making a plan to go. Go into all the world. Go into all the world. Father, we thank you tonight. Ask Him to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of winning people to Jesus. Father, I pray tonight for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, that you would cover over our own insecurities, our own inabilities, our own lack of wisdom and knowledge, and all the things, all the excuses that we make for not telling people about you. God, I personally repent. God, that I have hoarded your presence to myself. That I've overlooked my cashier in Walmart. I've overlooked my waitress at the restaurant. Lord Jesus, I've overlooked my annoying family or friends that I just can't wait till they leave. Oh God. Oh God, folks, He's here. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit power. Come and sweep across this place. Change hearts, change lives, renew, deliver, transform, make warriors for Christ. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that this church will never be the same again, that this community will never be the same again. Yes, Lord, go after Him. Is your heart broken for the lost tonight? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask her to lead us in worship while you guys pray. Seek after the face of God. Pray for the lost.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.